24-28. Matthew chapter 10. Okay. Now, I'm only going to ask people with the ESV to read it out loud. That's okay with y'all? Okay? And people with other versions, just follow along. Okay? Just follow along. Okay, ESV people, get ready. I want to hear you nice and loud. Here we go. All right, Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 28. I'll read one verse, and ESV people, please read the following verse. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hallelujah. It's the word of the Lord. Take a moment and pray with me. Lord, I just bind every spirit of distraction, doubt, mockery in this place right now in the name of Jesus. God, I loose, God, the anointing of your spirit, oh God, Lord. May your unction, oh God, Lord, drop down upon this body, upon myself to preach, and upon these people to hear. Your anointing, oh God, Lord, flow in this place right now. And may the word of the Lord bring forth a fruitful harvest in each and every person who hears this word tonight. Ready your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone stand up. Okay, everyone stand up. Pick up your notebook if you're taking notes. Pick up your Bibles. If you have your Bible. Okay. All right. I'm going to continue preaching. Everyone okay with that? Okay. All right. Don't look at me like, all right. All right. You guys are going to stand and you're going to hear the word of the Lord. Okay, brothers and sisters, we are on the eve of a mighty move of God. Okay, I don't think you heard me. Okay. We are on the eve of a mighty move of God here in Seoul. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, some people are still upset about the fact that they're standing. All right. You're gonna remain standing. All right. Now, ever since the 42-day fast ended, starting Wednesday morning, God has been speaking, for me at least, prophecy after prophecy, vision after vision. And he's confirming to me and to others about what is to come. And it hasn't stopped. And once this revival begins, brothers and sisters, things will never be the same again. I mean, things will never be the same again. They will not be the same. I don't think you understand. It's not like, oh, it feels so good. Oh, yeah, it's getting better. You know, it's good changes like that. I'm talking like things that are going to make you very uncomfortable. The dynamics of some of your relationships will change. The way your family treats you may change. The way you see God will change. Things will not be the same again. Your life will not be the same again. There's a mighty move of God coming forth. God's going to stretch forth his right arm over JSCM. And he's going to fill this church with his mighty power. Amen? The sick will be healed. Amen. The blind see. Amen. The dead raised. The oppressed free. And as the army of God, we will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Yeah, God has, He's placed His light on this church. He's placed His light in this church. And He has set apart this church as a lampstand. Okay. There are a lot of churches, but not every church is a lampstand. You can have a church building. That does not mean that that church stands as a lampstand before the presence of God. But God has been fashioning and preparing this church to be a lampstand in His presence. Okay, so what's going on is He's fashioned the lampstand. And hallelujah. Hopefully I'll be able to preach this message called Made of Beaten Gold. That's a good message. It's about spiritual authority. That's going to come a little bit later. The Bible says the lampstand was made of beaten gold. Hallelujah. Anyway, lampstand's been prepared. Now the lampstand's going to come into the presence. Once the lampstand's in the presence, all the anointing's going to flow. The anointing's going to flow. Hallelujah. And God's going to refine this church even further, that we may not only display His glory here in this building, but all over this city. That JSEM may be like a city on a hill. That we may display His glory for all to see. And He's going to bring us together with other churches of like spirit. And He's going to lead us forth in a triumphal procession. Amen. You know what? I'm telling you something. God loves this church, JSEM. No, like God loves this church. And that's not to be like, oh, our church is better than other churches. No, I'm just saying what I have been told through different prophets. God loves this church. This is a very unique church. God has shaped this church. He loves this church. He loves this church. He loves this church so much that He longs to just bring us home. He longs to just gather us in. But He won't. Because there are things yet undone. As much as He loves us, as much as He desires just to bring this bride home, bring this church home, He won't. But there are things yet undone. The time for us to go home has not come yet. But a different time has come. The time for the Niagara outpouring of God's power and spirit to be poured out. That time has now come. And there will be a full release of that promise. The anointing and the fire that JSEM has been called to pray for, we're right on the eve. We're right on the brink of it being released. Time's coming for us to enter our promised land as a church. This is not the time to be found asleep. It's not the time to be found timid. This is the time to have that spirit of Caleb rise up in us. Amen. Say, God will give it to us if only we will go and take it. And the word God spoke to me on the plane ride over to Korea from my trip, as contained in Ezekiel chapter 12. The days are near when every vision will be fulfilled. None of my words will be delayed any longer. whatever I say will be fulfilled. This word that just popped out at me as I was reading it on the plane. It's been confirmed through prophets who didn't even hear what I shared last Friday about it. And they're just starting to confirm. God's going to fulfill all those visions that people got during Sunday swim about, you know, upside down umbrellas getting filled up with water and it's coming up to the brink and God's going to pour it out. Or there was some kind of like container with like a small hole and that hole was about to burst because the weight of whatever was on the top of that container was getting so heavy. Like a wave that's coming. Like a volcanic lava that not kills but brings life. All God's put out all those visions. He's creative, man. He can make like 1,000 visions for one thing he's about to do. But yeah, there's all different characteristics about what he's about to do. And all these things God is saying, without delay, it will not be delayed any longer. The time is near. Vision, all the things I've spoken will be fulfilled. And the warning is going out. Whoever stands opposed, who tries to argue against what God's doing, they will not stand much longer. And they will be silenced. Because God doesn't play. Listen and behold, my brothers and sisters. God is coming swiftly. And he will not delay. And he is calling us tonight to stand ready. A lampstand is only as good as it remains standing. God is calling us tonight. We have been called to stand in his presence and bear his light into a lost and fallen world. But we must stand. And you see how I'm making y'all stand through the sermon right now? How uncomfortable that is. How you're not used to this. Christian, just let us sit already. You made your point. See how it's uncomfortable? Oh, it's going to be really uncomfortable when this move starts to move through. The time of testing will come. And the question will be, will you stand? Will you remain standing? Will you remain standing? Because a lampstand is only as good as it remains standing. So tonight's message, I put together a little meal for you. You know, somebody said, preachers prepare sermons. It's like preachers put together a recipe. You know, all the raw ingredients are out there. They put it together and they serve it up to you so you can enjoy and eat it. I think that's a good analogy, right? All right, well, I didn't get to chop all the carrots into nice, even pieces, but look, I'm bringing y'all a meal tonight and y'all gonna eat it, amen? All right, you can stand, you can sit now, you can sit. Go ahead, sit down. It's all right. It's okay. You can sit. Read with me again, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 through 28. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, which is another word for devil or Satan, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say it in the light. and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the rooftops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, Jesus could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He said, rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Tonight's message is quite simple, brothers and sisters. And this is what will keep you standing through this coming revival. Okay? Fear the Lord. Okay? It's good to rejoice in His presence. It's good to dance and have a good time and be like children. You know? It's good to do that. Brothers and sisters, the greater the anointing, the greater the responsibility, the greater the call to holiness. Well, the call to holiness is always there. But the more urgent, the more pressing the call that you remain holy before the Lord your God. Set apart, pure, integrity. And the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the only thing that will keep us standing through what's about to come. The fear of the Lord will keep you standing. Jesus said in this passage, they call me the devil, Beelzebub. They said that I'm driving out demons through the prince of demons. If they talk about me like that, and a servant is not above his master, what kind of things will they say to you? Oh, believe me, if they malign me, they will malign you also. And brothers and sisters, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? That mighty moves of God's Spirit today, they are accused, slandered. People fall under the power of God and start to shake. Other people stand in the back or they watch from their homes on their computers and they look and they say, oh, it's a demon that's working through that minister. Just go on YouTube, right? You go on YouTube on any video where the comments aren't disabled and look up any charismatic minister, Ronnie Howard Brown, Benny Hinn, you know, Toronto Airport Church, anytime, anywhere you see a move of charismatic move, right? And we're not just talking like people outside the church, by the way. You know who has the loudest voices, people in the church. And we're not even talking about non-charismatics. We're talking about charismatics, slandering charismatics. Pentecostals, assemblies of God. I won't talk about denominations tonight. But people within the church accusing a minister of God who's moving by the Spirit of God as having the power of the devil. Isn't that the truth? They did it to Jesus and they're still doing it today. You know, I have to take a lot of different kinds of, I had to hear a lot of different stuff over the last 2 years, leading this church to where it is today. You didn't hear it, okay, but I heard it. I heard it. People say, hey, what are you getting yourself into? What is all that going on over there? What's all this deliverance ministry about? What is all this shaking on the power of God? What is all that tongue about? You sure that's from God? You sure that's God? You know, I heard it all. People accusing me of not properly handling the Word of God. Psh. I fear God too much to mishandle the word of God. I might not, you know, interpret everything perfectly, or I might not know all the Hebrew and Greek, but I know I got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And He will lead me into all truth. Even if I make a mistake one Sunday, He'll correct and rebuke me. Hallelujah. But people accusing me of all kinds of stuff, saying you're misinterpreting that text. And pretty much coming up short of saying, yeah, you are operating on the power of the devil. Whatever's going on over there, it's not from God. And Jesus is saying, look, they did it to me, they will do it to you. Look, we're on the eve of something really powerful. All right? It's a mighty Niagara outpouring coming. It's going to be more than, you know what? And some of you who are not ready, it's going to tear you open. You know what? Jesus said new wine that's poured into old wineskin. You know, old wineskin is not stretchable. It's not moldable. What happens? It breaks open. New wine's got to be poured into new wineskin. And praise the Lord, and many of you here, I mean, even people, most of you come to Friday Fire, God has been readying your heart. Because if God does what He's about to do, He did it 2 years ago, you would have broke right open. Your Christianity would have fell apart. You wouldn't have understood it. You wouldn't have known what to do with it. It would have just been one experience to you. But you see, God's been preparing people. But you know what? Not everybody's prepared. Not everybody's ready. But you know what? It's alright. Because as a church as a whole, I believe that God sees fit to pour it out. He has mighty purposes for this church. And we're on the eve of tomorrow. We're going to have this prayer movement with the English ministry churches in Seoul. Hallelujah. And you know what? Tomorrow, I don't even know. I think mostly it will be Onuri and JSCM. Hallelujah. I don't know how many other churches are going to be there. You know, maybe we didn't have color posters and nice website. No, we didn't do any of that, you know? We're counting on the Holy Spirit to like really start moving. But it's alright, because through prophetic visions, we've seen that pastors are going to begin to join this movement as we continue forward. But God wants this thing to start. He doesn't want everything to, all the conditions to be perfect and then start. It's like He wants this thing to go right now, because the time is now. And as we go forward, there are going to be churches that are going to join. But we're on the eve of this thing, hallelujah. You know what? And when JSCM, y'all show up even tomorrow in front of only, you know what? People will not all like embrace y'all and be like, woo, hallelujah, yeah. There's going to be some finger pointing. There's going to be some like, man, what is that about? You know? And if for every more powerful manifestations come, maybe even perhaps during the prayer meeting, people going to talk about it. Right? And people may malign you. What will you do then? What will you do then? That's the question. And Jesus here is trying to address it. And the way He addresses it is by, He doesn't tell you practically what to do. He addresses the real issue. And He says, you know what? When they malign you like that, you know what your biggest problem will be? It'll be fear. Your biggest issue, when My power starts to move powerfully through you, you go out to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. When they malign you, your biggest issue will be fear. The fear of man. The desire to please. The desire to just be accepted. Insecurities. Fear. And the way that Jesus addresses that fear, He doesn't just say, do not fear. Don't fear men. Look, don't fear them. Just stay true to Me. No. Okay. He addresses that fear by commanding us to put your fear. Fear the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, you are supposed to fear something, Jesus is saying. But you are not to fear man. You are to fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you are to continue to remain faithful. If you fear the Lord, you don't care what anyone says, as long as you know what God's perfect will for you is there, you continue in it. If you fear the Lord, you do not remain silent, or the rocks will cry out. Well, you shout forth His praise. You pray in the Spirit. If you fear the Lord, you will stand and continue to shine God's light. Jesus is saying that when persecution comes, the only thing that can prevent you from denying God before men is the fear of the Lord. Because if you keep reading on here, Jesus said, whoever denies me, whoever acknowledges me before my Father, I will also acknowledge him before my Father. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Heavenly Father. Jesus is like pretty much like, man, you gonna diss me? I'm gonna diss you. You gonna act like you don't know me? I'm gonna act like I don't know you. But this is kind of serious though. You don't want this. The only thing that's gonna prevent you from actions where you deny the Lord before men. Because, you know, it's not just about, I deny Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, it's not just that kind of denial. That's the only thing we think about, right? I will never deny the Lord. Never, Lord. I will never deny Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Even if they put a knife on my throat. Even if they put a gun to my head. I will never deny. I'll be like those men and women that have died for the faith. I'll never deny the Lord. Yeah. You better not, right? That's, you know what? Hey, you know what? Any fool that's saved, I think, can do that. I mean, with God's grace, of course. But you know what? Because it's only once. Right? We know what the real hard part, the true test, is over and over and over again. What are you doing before men? Are your words, your actions, is it denying the Lord before men? Or are you really acknowledging the Lord before men? No matter what. No matter what the cost. No matter how much you get ridiculed. Are you willing to acknowledge the Lord before men? You know what? You determine yourself to do it, you won't be able to do it. Only the fear of the Lord will prevent you from ever denying the Lord. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times, Peter. Brothers and sisters, we're not talking about just Judas Iscariot denial. We're talking about Peter the apostle denial. Denials that all of us are vulnerable to and are everyday Christian life, but especially when there's a mighty move of God. Will you stand? Psalm 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. And the ESV, I like how it says, unite my heart to fear your name. Psalm 86:11. Unite my heart, God, to fear your name. Isn't that beautiful? You know, a lot of us, you know, we love, you know, saying the name of Jesus. Saying the name of the Lord. But did you know that the Jews, they never said the name of God? The name of God was so holy, the Jews never spoke it. the name Yah He Weh He. Yoha. I don't know how they said it, but you know, Korean actually phonetics is pretty close to the Hebrew. Yoha. Yoha. What you just say? You don't say his name. Because God said, do not take my name in vain. Right? There was a trembling. The Jews had something right, at least regarding the name of the Lord. They knew how to revere and fear the name of the Lord. But our generation, we don't really know how to fear the name of the Lord. But we just take his name in vain all the time. Even us, you know, leaders here in this church. All right? I should never hear anyone saying, oh my God, in my presence. Not just in my presence. You better not say it anywhere in God's presence. Do not use God's name in vain for exaltation, for exclamation. Only use it for exaltation. Hallelujah. Don't take his name in vain. Don't say, oh God, or thank God. Don't just use his name in vain like that. You are to fear the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Only in worship. Only as you call out to him. Only as you testify should the name of the Lord be upon your lips. There should be a trembling before the fear of, before the name of the Lord. Isaiah 8:13, it says, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. The Lord of hosts, let him be your fear. But you know what? On this earth, so many people, they live in fear to everything else except the fear of the Lord. Well, what are some things we people fear? People fear evil. People fear heights. People fear spiders, demons, calamity, disease, death. Pain. People fear all kind, like things that, scenarios that didn't even happen. They fear. And that fear, it keeps them from living a life of faith. If you fear everything else but God, you cannot live a life of faith. The Bible says, let him be your fear. Oh, look at the earth. People fear everything. And the Bible says, no, you let God be your fear. Let him be your dread. Because check it out. You know what? The church is so lacking in the fear of the Lord. You can tell by how many backsliders we have. Like true Christians that backslide. You know why people backslide and they stay that way for like years or months, whatever? You know why people do that? Because they don't have fear of the Lord. Because they don't understand what God can do. You backslide 1 week, God can just snuff you out. He doesn't owe you a lifetime. He doesn't owe you a chance to go to college. He doesn't owe you a job. He doesn't owe you nothing. Whatever you get in grace. You get as mercy. You get because you've trusted in Christ. As a result of the cross, you get. People don't understand that. But you know what? Praise God for the people that keep on going backsliding. You know why? Because God's grace is abounding to them. And God's calling them forth. But you know what? Not every backslider comes back. God will cut the life of a saint early. Paul talked about it. You have a brother caught in certain sins. You don't associate with him. Or you do church discipline. You bring it to the to another witness and they don't listen. You bring it to the church. They don't listen. You treat them as a tax collector. You hand them over to Satan, Paul said. Why? Because if you look at people that are living in sin, what is in their life? What is in their life? People who are living in sin. Like living in sin. Sexual morality. Living in drugs. Living in lies. What do you see in their life? Bondage. What comes with bondage? What comes with bondage? Satan. Demons. Demons. You see demons all over people that are living in sin. Why? Because God allows that. And what Paul is saying is, you hand them over to Satan. Because God does that with those who refuse to repent. God uses demons to chastise his very people. Okay. I mean, a lot of times people come back to God because they're just fed up with all the demons. They're just like, man, I can't sleep. I've had insomnia for 2 years. I didn't know anything that it was connected to my sin, but the moment I confessed my sin to the prayer team, my insomnia was gone. It was cured. Hallelujah. Yeah. Right? Sometimes God will cut a man's life short. Because if they continue on and they don't repent, right? Eventually Satan, what's he going for? He's going for destruction. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. You know, destroy is a level above kill, by the way. Because Satan can try to just go for like a believer's death. Or he can go for their destruction. You know what? And Satan will go in that way. He'll aim for destruction. He'll steal, and he'll kill you, and he'll destroy your whole family while he's at it. Oh, Satan's, he's playing for keeps. You know what? From a Calvinist viewpoint, you know, and this is a non-Calvinist viewpoint, you know, people preach and they talk about it all the time. They talk about, we are fighting for the souls of men. You know, if we don't go out there and evangelize, people are going to go to hell. You know, man, I hear that. Whoa, I gotta go out and evangelize every day then. I get gripped with all kinds of like anxiety. Right? But you know what? I'm sorry. That's not what I see God revealed in scripture. Well, it's not my interpretation. All right. From a Augustinian Calvinist viewpoint, you have a God who does not fail to save those whom he's chosen. So, in doing deliverance ministry, when I've looked at the face of what Satan is doing, I've figured out what he's really after. Satan's not fighting for the souls of men, brothers and sisters. Okay, if you're agreeing with me on a Calvinist viewpoint, this is the way you would think. Satan knows that he's not fighting for the souls of men. He knows that that's fixed. He knows that he can't snatch one person out of heaven. God has predestined those whom he will save. Jesus said, they will deceive even the elect if that were possible. Okay. Those whom God has chosen, God will make sure he brings home. There will not be a person that says, God says, oh, Bob, I wanted Bob to come home. But Satan got him. And Eno didn't evangelize enough. I called Eno to evangelize to Bob 3 times and she just failed me. Eno, you're in heaven, but Bob's not. Good job, Eno. Right? I'm serious. That's the kind of view of God that you will have to settle on, right? If you are anything but, you know, a 5-point Calvinist. But you see, we know what Satan is going for. Satan is not going for the souls of men. Satan is going for destruction. He's trying to destroy every single true born again saved believer that he knows he can't bring to hell, but he knows he can destroy early deaths, disease, bondage, and the glory of God will not be revealed in that person's life. Do you see what Satan's going for now? The reason Satan attacks the church so much, because if Satan's playing for keeps, you know what? All his attention will be focused on the lost. But why is there so much deliverance ministry going on here, even at this church? Why are so many people in bondage who are saved? Why? Struggling with all kinds of sexual immorality, bulimia, drugs. Why? Because Satan is looking for destruction. He's looking to destroy the saints of God. And if you look in the book of Revelation, the Bible says God gave Satan authority to make war on the saints. You know why? Because God's sovereign like that. And He will turn even the attacks of the enemy to refine the people of God, to discipline the people of God, to test the people of God, and to make them stronger. You see, we don't, one thing you don't pray is, you're not actually supposed to pray for just protection from the enemy. Right? In just my own experience, that's a frugal prayer. You know why? You can't get immunity from the devil's attacks. Because you know why? God in His sovereignty allows the devil to attack you a lot of times. So you pray, Lord, protect me from the evil one. Next day you get hit by an attack by the evil one. And you're just like, Lord, you failed me again. Why aren't you answering my prayer? I'm so frustrated. And God's like, look at my word. You're not supposed to pray protection from the enemy. You're supposed to pray, deliver me from the enemy. You see? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. They will be formed though, by the way. You will be attacked. You will be targeted again and again and again. But it doesn't have to prosper. You can be delivered from it. And you can pray that God, deliver me from it. Deliver me so I may stand. Deliver me that I might come out stronger. More than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm not praying that I just overcome the attacks of the enemy, but I might be more than a conqueror. That God, you will subdue what the enemy has bound and purpose for to destroy me, and you will actually turn around for my good. Because God works for good, all things for the good of those who love Him. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, you just gotta rejoice and just be joyful. But other times when you rejoice, you're like, I rejoice in you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're so holy. Oh, God, you're a mighty God. There is a rejoicing with trembling, brothers and sisters. That's the deeper you get with maturity, the more you realize. There is a rejoicing with trembling. There is a serving the Lord with fear. You know, you can serve the Lord with joy. You can serve the Lord with zeal. But the mature, those who have a high calling, those who have a mighty anointing, they must serve the Lord with fear. Because once again, the greater the anointing, you're talking about life or death. We're not talking about just touching people and making them into prayer warriors or just transforming somebody's life. We're talking about life or death. I mean, if you got a mighty anointing on you like that, and God wants you to use you to raise somebody from the dead, or God wants to use you to heal somebody that's about to die in 2 days, we're talking about life or death. When you have that kind of responsibility, that kind of calling, and God wants to use you in that kind of purpose, oh, you better make sure that you know how to fear the Lord. Because there's no room for, like, kidding around. There's no room for, oh, I don't feel like it. There's no room for, like levity, cavalier attitude. There's no room for that. It's fear of the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear. Hallelujah. The Word of God actually says, Psalm 99, the fear of the Lord is clean. It's gekateh, enduring forever. You know, when I look at another brother, I could look at another brother, and like, I can't do this all the time, but sometimes I could do this, right? Because the Spirit of the Lord just, you know, He'll give me the discernment. I look at a brother, I just meet him for 5 minutes. I can tell if he's clean or not. I can tell if he's living a life of purity, or if there's things there that's just kind of like troubling the Lord. You know why? I could sense when a man has a fear of the Lord on him. Just the way he talks. Just the way he listens. Just the way he talks about God. Oh, it's different. The fear of the Lord is ekate, is clean. Hallelujah. Enduring forever, the Word of God says. Hallelujah. And man, it's refreshing, man. When I met Pastor Eddie, man, You know, I met him in Jeju-do. You know, and Herman, he introduced me to Pastor Eddie there, and God orchestrated it so that we would meet in Jeju for the first time. Hallelujah. You know, how romantic, right? Hallelujah. You know, I met that brother. I met that brother, and I felt so 깨끗해. I felt like, oh, this boy's clean. This boy's clean. Hallelujah. I want to work with him. Because the fear of the Lord was upon him. The word of God says, Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. On those who hope in his steadfast love. You feared the Lord. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Psalm 34:7-9. This is really cool. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, people think that if they fear calamity, they fear, oh, there might be an accident here, so I should take all these different steps. They fear everything, and they think that that's gonna, you know, I gotta get insurance for this, this, and that, because they just fear everything, and they think that that's gonna protect them. The Word of God says, All you gotta do is fear God, and that's it. The best insurance policy you ever buy. You fear God, and the angel of the Lord encamps around you. Oh, hallelujah. You know, as a child, I admit, I was a hypochondriac. Okay, if you guys know what that means? I had a fear of like germs, fear of disease. I don't know how it happened. I think there was definitely some bondage when I was a kid. Right? I used to look up encyclopedia, right? And I would look up like every disease, and then on the bottom there were references. I would look up every one of those disease references as well. I'd be like, man, these symptoms, man, I think I got them. I press down on my side. Oh, there's some pain there. Oh, yeah. Wait, I'm getting like a headache. Oh, no. You know? And, man, yeah, I thought I had all kinds of diseases, by the way. And brothers, I'll share with y'all when we're alone together. Yeah. Man, I thought I had all kinds of diseases. I just feared everything. I feared like I had all these diseases. But you know, when I start to fear the Lord, I got delivered from those fears. I just realized, you know what? I can eat all my vitamins. You know what? You gotta eat right. You gotta honor the Lord with your body, right? That's biblical. You can't be like, I fear the Lord, and then just like fried chicken every day. You know, I fear the Lord. Fried chicken's not gonna kill me. Angels of the Lord encamp around me. Look, I'm all right. Right? Eating like, you know, regular soda, you know, drinking all, like, you know. Hallelujah. You know, take care of your body. That's not fearing the Lord right there. By your actions, you're showing you're not fearing the Lord. But yeah, you fear the Lord. Even if you don't take all your vitamins every day, even if you don't do everything perfectly, even if you don't, you know, you should put on your seatbelt, but even if you like, drive a little crazy, sometimes. You should drive safe. But even if, God will protect you. Angels of the Lord. You know, there have been instances where I just came so close to dying. So close to getting hit by a car, especially here in Seoul. Actually, I think it happens like every month. Or like, I think of my wife, Erin, actually. She is like one living proof that the word of the Lord is true. Man, I see her sometimes, and she'll be like across the street. I'm like, hey, baby, come across the street. And she'll just start coming across the street, and it's like red light. I'm like, And she starts spazzing out. The car almost hit her. I'll be thinking, man, what kind of stuff must happen when I'm not looking, when I'm not with her? Like tripping on the subway escalator, you know? One wrong trip on the escalator, man, could kill you. You know? But hallelujah, as she remains in the fear of the Lord, the angels of God will deliver her and camp around her. Hallelujah. And those who fear Him have no lack. That means provisions. You fear the Lord, He's going to take care of you. You start fearing your parents more than the Lord. Oh, you're going to have all kinds of money trouble. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 13 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast..." Oh man, that clock's not working. Oh brother, hallelujah. I've been preaching thinking that that's the right time the whole time. I was like, I'm doing pretty good. All right, I got to wrap up this message. Oh man, brother, you didn't say nothing. Man. All right, let me just go through this quick, right? Psalm 103 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him." Right? But why? Because a man who fears the Lord, he will remain faithful no matter what. He will not deny Christ ever. God loves that stuff. I was like, man, that is one courageous dude. I love him. His love is toward those who fear Him. Right? "As far as the east is from the west, so does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him." Man, you fear the Lord. Man, there's some people, man, I look at it and they don't really experience God as their father. And I'm like, man, what's up with that? How come God, I experience you so much as a father, but they don't experience that compassion like as a father? Because they don't fear the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:27. Oh, this is a good one. Write this one down if you want to write something down. 14:27. Proverbs 14:27. "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." Hallelujah. "That one may turn away from the snares of death." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Oh, you fear the Lord. People come to you, they will find life at you. At your waters of life will flow out from you. If you fear the Lord. Because a man who fears the Lord obeys the words of the Lord. Obeys the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who obeys the word of the Lord and obeys the leading of the Spirit, man, that person is guaranteed streams of living water will flow out from him. It's a tree of life right there. In Psalm 111:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Okay, that's a real famous one, right? It's quoted verbatim, Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. God, fill me with wisdom. God, give me more wisdom. God's like, well, you better start trembling before me. You better start taking my word seriously. Don't just go to there for just a blessing. You better digest it all. Learn to lay down a foundation. Fear me. Fear the Lord. Alright. Don't just ask for forgiveness for sexual sins all the time. Fear me. You better turn away from those sins. Because the Bible says the Lord will punish men for all such sins. Believe me. You think you're like getting forgiven each time and you're like, there's no punishment associated with sexual sin. Believe me. The Word of God says the Lord will punish all men for such sins. God means it. It just hasn't come yet. And even if you get delivered from it, you know what? There's going to be some cost to pay. A sexual sin, the word of God, you people of God need to stay away from sexual sin. All right? The body of the Lord is to be holy. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom, hallelujah. Fear of the Lord, wisdom, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear of the Lord, wisdom. Fear of the Lord, wisdom, hallelujah. All right, I was going to deal with some of the other things that are associated with this message. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to just go to the mighty and. Hallelujah. The mighty and. I mean, the and which is labeled the mighty move of God. Hallelujah. So here, this is the reason why I'm preaching this tonight. Check this out. Right, I can just preach this from my spirit. Right, the reason I'm preaching this tonight, because the mighty move of God is coming. Right. And as this mighty move of the Lord comes, this anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit starts to smack up on people. And people, you see people, man, like Anita's going to just like pray for people, going to get healed. We're going to send one of our brothers and sisters from here to the missions field. They're going to go to India, and they're actually going to raise somebody from the dead. Jesus said, the things you see me do, you will also do. Greater things you will do because I'm going to the Father. You believe that word, God will do it. And God has been doing it. Right? You think about Heidi Baker's ministry, right? Every year they have last year was 47 or something like that. Certified dead, raised from the dead. Right? Where they're counted dead for, I think, 24 hours. And then they are raised to life and they remain alive for like a month or something like that. Because some people are raised to life and then they die a week later. And I guess they don't count those anymore. You know? But they have a way to certify because that happens. Right? And this kind of anointing is going to drop down on this church. And I'll tell you what the result will be. On the outside, the result will be fear. It won't be great rejoicing. Because the bigger the move, the greater the fear. And it's scriptural, right? You look at Luke 7:16. Jesus saw a widow. And the widow was leading a funeral procession. Her son had just died. This widow. And for a widow, you know, when a son dies, man, that's everything. You don't got no husband. Who do you look to? Right? And Jesus had compassion on her. He walked over, stopped the procession. I mean, can you imagine that? Our brother Roy, right? He's just passing by Severance Hospital. And they start unloading this casket. And the Spirit of the Lord says, Roy, go over to that casket right now. There's a man that died in that casket, but his time had not yet come. I'm going to revive him. And Roy's like, what? But Roy actually has been used to this, actually, because he's done two of them already in 2009. This would be his third one. So he's like, well, Lord, you know, Lord, I fear you. So even though I might look ridiculous, I'm not going to fear man. I'm going to fear him who could throw my body and soul into hell. I mean, you won't do it, but, you know, I'm going to fear you because that's the kind of God you are. So he goes over and he's like, man, I'm going to look like an idiot. Oh, man, all the fear of man is going through his head, right? But he's like, no, I will not give in to that. I will not deny the Lord. I'm going to obey him. And he's like, stop! She's like, opens up the casket. Laying hands on a dead body. That's crazy. Be raised. In Jesus' name. Yesu 이름으로. Nothing happens. Roy's getting real nervous. And people getting real angry. Wait. Yesu 이름으로. Nothing happens. But you know, sometimes hallelujah, like Smith Wigglesworth, you get the gift of faith. The spiritual gift of faith might drop down. Hopefully this will be an operation for such a thing. Because you know, actually in natural faith, in your own measure of faith, none of you would probably do something like this. But when the Holy Spirit drops down that spiritual gift of faith, like you know, like Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, he wasn't like, he just went in. Because the gift of faith was like, you know, God was like, I put my faith in you. You will not be destroyed. He went in with come. You know, hopefully that will be operating Roy. And Roy prays a third time. Yes, sir. And God wakes up. And the response from the people leading that funeral will be fear. Because the word of God says in Luke 7:16, fear seized them all. They saw the widow's son raised from the dead, and fear seized them all. In Luke 8:37, you look at a chapter later, there was a demon-possessed man in the Gerasenes, right? It's a famous passage. This boy's been chained hand and foot, breaking all the chains. Crazy man. Everybody knows about him. There's a crazy dude again. Jesus delivers him from the demons, throws him into a herd of pigs. Pigs go off the bank and they all die. You know? And what do you think the response of the people were? It wasn't like, oh man, that's a lot of pork that was wasted. Why did Jesus do that? But at least that crazy dude's, you know, fixed. No. It was great fear. They were filled with so much fear, they asked Jesus to leave. They weren't like, oh Jesus, can you do more of that here? We got some more demon-possessed people over in this cave. We got another one, you know, our uncle over there in another town. No, they were like, get out of here, Jesus. We want you to leave right now. Why? Because they were so filled with fear. When the mighty move of God starts to move, brothers and sisters, the response from people on the outside will be fear. Let me tell you one more thing. The response in our hearts will also be one of fear. You need to get this down in your spirit. This is what's going to help you to stand through this movement. Y'all are going to come back and you're going to listen to this message again. Jesus in Mark 4 told his disciples, get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. Right, hallelujah. And you know what? God is telling JSTM, get in the boat. I'm taking you to the promised land. And people are like, oh, hallelujah. Yay. Guess who that is, right? Yay. You know, hallelujah. That's one of our sisters. Hallelujah. You know, we all get in the boat. Yay, we get in the boat. Yeah. You know, yeah. We're going to the other side. Yeah. You know, and it's so exciting, right? I mean, when I cast vision, like, brother, sister, JSTM got to go into the promised land. It's exciting. Like, yeah. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, milk and honey. Yeah, good land. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 300. Yeah, our church is going to grow. Yeah, better facilities. Yeah. Better bid mission trips. Yeah. More hot guys. More hot and godly guys. Woo. Yeah, they're going to come to our church. Sounds good to me. Let's go. Let's go, Jesus. And then what happened? In this boat, they go into the other side. What happened? Storm rises up. Storm rises up. Things get real crazy. Oh, things got crazy. And they're like, they're trying to use all their efforts to save themselves, right? And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping, right? Isn't that the darnest thing, right? You would think a storm like that would wake him up. Man, Jesus actually, I know he wasn't really sleeping. All right. Cause, you know, he's listening. He's pretending to sleep. You know, like back when you were a kid, you know, like when you're a teenager, you know, you fall asleep in the back of the car and then your friends start talking about you. All right. You pretend you're still sleeping just to hear what they say about you. Like, oh yeah, that Christian. Is he sleeping? Yeah, man, Christian, man, you should have seen what he did yesterday, man. Boy, crazy. Right, he just listened. Right, Jesus was like on that boat, on the cushion, just listening. Yeah. Oh, there's Peter. Ah! We're gonna die! Oh, there's Thomas. Yeah, that ain't gonna work, man. That's not gonna work. Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. That's not gonna work either. That's not gonna work either. And Jesus is listening. Oh, man, these disciples. Right? And he's like, all right. You know, and Jesus will do that, right? He'll pretend he's asleep. He'll pretend like, you know, we're like calling out to him, Lord, where are you? You know, this thing seems like real silent. But Jesus is just listening. He's looking for our response. You see? Right? Like through this whole 42-day fast, right? Even like before the 42-day fast, you know? You know, like even like when I pray for people, man, I've been kind of like you know, what, where's the power? You know, there have been greater manifestations of power when I, you know, I pray for people and people like get transformed. You know, demons getting, you know, like manifesting, getting people delivered. You know, it's been powerful stuff sometimes. You know, but you know, around the 42-day fast time, man, nothing. It's like a little drip, like, and I'm like, man, and Jesus just laying there. He's listening. Christian, what you gonna do about that? Man! Not gonna ever pray for nobody again. Until Jesus, you do something. Right? Or, I don't think anything's happening in that brother. So I'm not gonna pray for him anymore. Right? No, I didn't respond like that, right? I kept praying for people. Lord, I'm gonna keep stepping out. I look like a fool, but I'm gonna keep stepping out. Right? Even at like, I pray, fire of God at Jubilee, right? Fire of God gonna come, hallelujah. Yeah, whoever wants to get prayed for, come up to the front. You know, a bunch of Jubilee people came up. And I was, oh, they going down. Oh, hallelujah. Fire of God gonna visit this church. Yeah. Right? And then these sisters, I guess, I think they're on the prayer team. And I sensed like the Pastor Paul spirit on them. They're up there. They're like, all right, give me what you got. Give me what you got. So I'm like, fire! And they're like, yeah, give me what you got. Fire! Lord, fire! 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 All right, maybe next person. Hey, babe, why don't you pray for her? Fire! <Right. laughs> I was just like praying for these sisters. Ain't nothing happening. I'm like, man, Lord, you're making me look like a fool in front of Jubilee. That's what's going on through my head. You know, I'm Pastor David looking like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. I haven't seen Christian like this before. I haven't seen him in this kind of action. Let me see what's going on. Ain't nothing going on. I'm going to the bathroom. You know? It doesn't happen. And Jesus is all the whole time. He's just on the cushion. He's just listening. What you going to do, Christian? How you going to respond? How you going to respond? I'm like, I just kept going. Now a couple more people came up. And hallelujah. You know, there were a couple young people, man. I felt the anointing was all over them. I'm mad easy to just pray for them. It was just like a release. And then hallelujah, you know, one of them like, boom, fell on the power of God for the first time in her life. And she's been actually really changed. She's been coming out sometimes, Friday Fire, always emailing me and stuff. Hallelujah. But you know, it's not like what I experienced before when I prayed for people with a fire. Man, there was one time, remember Brother Dave? Hallelujah. Like a year ago, actually twin Brian was there. That's the first time. Oh, that maybe not the first time. Was it the first time? Yeah, not the first time, right? Right, but this boy got slain in the spirit. And boy, like David got slain, starts twitching on the ground like he has some kind of like disease. Like he's just twitching on the ground, and his eyeballs were going up backward. Like he was down there for the whole service, and then when the service ended, he was still on the ground. That was powerful, man. Everybody got slain almost. Almost everybody got slain that night. I mean, like, my wife flew back like 20 feet. And I started flapping like a fish on the ground. That was like power. Anyway, hallelujah. You know, lately, you know, hasn't been happening, right? Haven't been happening, right? Anyway, hallelujah. Jesus finally says, all right, that's enough. Gets up. Quiet. Storm dies down. During the storm, what did the disciples fear? The storm. Once the storm was stilled, what does the Bible say that the disciples feared? Jesus. Brothers and sisters, what God is about to do is so powerful that your inner response, your response will be the fear of the Lord. And God is calling you to walk in that fear. It is not a bad fear. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, angels of God encamp around you. If you serve the Lord with fear,
you rejoice with trembling. Brothers and sisters, mighty move of God. But there's going to be fear. Fear from those on the outside. But we are not to fear whatever they say or whatever they do or whatever they try to do to us. But we are to fear the Lord and to remain in that fear, because that's what will cause us to stand as a lampstand in the house of God. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah.